get started here, thank Pastor Josh for the opportunity to help out, share God's word with you, share something that's a burden on my heart. The sessions have been great. Appreciate Brother Mike Calhoun coming and sharing his knowledge and understanding and wisdom with us. And hopefully you'll avail yourself of some of the literature back there. I don't think it's by chance that the seminars have been organized in the fashion they have. As you just look at them for a moment, Pastor Josh, his seminar was, what was that one? Man and God, right? Man and God, dealing with your personal relationship with God. Then Pastor Mark's seminar was what? Man and his home, man and his family. And I think how goes your relationship with God, so goes your relationship to your family. Directly related. It's impossible for us to say that we love God if, and at the same time display characteristics of unlove, if you will, towards our family or even others. It's a contradiction. It doesn't work. You can't say you love God if you're not loving your family. If you're not loving your family, you're not going to love others around you either. So start back at God. As your relationship with God goes, so goes your home. And you can just follow that. This is man in your church, man in his church. So as your relationship with God goes, so goes your relationship to your family, so goes your relationship with church. So it all comes back to your relationship with God. Everything comes back to your relationship with God. So consider the things that have been spoken so far today. When I was asked to do this topic, or actually I picked this topic, did a little bit of online research, find some things out. There's actually a website out there called Church for Men. Does anybody know that? There's actually a website out there. And one of the things that they present in their website is some facts or some statistics about churches and men. Questions about how come there aren't more men actively involved in churches. How come there aren't more men just even going to churches? Listen to some of these things. This is from some quick facts from churchformen.com. The typical U.S. congregation draws an adult crowd that's 61% female, 39% male. That's pretty big. This gender gap shows up in all the age categories, so it doesn't matter younger or old. There's a pretty big gap there. On any given Sunday, there are 13 million more adult women than men in America's churches. 13 million more adult women in church, more than men. This Sunday, almost 25% of married church-going women will worship without their husbands. These are pretty interesting things. Pretty interesting things. Here's one. More than 90% of American men believe in God. And 5 out of 6 call themselves Christians. But only 1 out of 6 attend church on any given Sunday. The average man accepts the reality of Jesus Christ, but fails to see any value in going to church. And I want to stick there for a few minutes. I want to read that again. The average man accepts the reality of Jesus Christ, but fails to see any value in going to church. If these statistics and these facts are indeed facts and true, why is that so? Why can men say, I believe in Jesus Christ, or say, hey, I am a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I don't really need the church. I don't need to go to that institution. My father, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved till I was 17, and I was much like Brother Mike Calhoun, and I knew zero about the scriptures. I didn't know anything. Zero. Nothing. Nothing about them at all. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my dad, several years after I was saved, he and I went snowboarding together. And I had shared the gospel quite a few times with him. And he said he made a profession of faith. And anyway, we were in the lodge, and out of the blue, he just stops me and says, Mark, I need you to know something. He says, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. These are his words. I didn't coax these things out of him. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And I know that you need to ask him to be your Savior and to go to heaven. And I've done all that. He says, I do pray every day. He says, I read my Bible, maybe not as much as I should. He says all these things. But all within the same breath. You know what he says next? But I also know you don't have to go to church to be saved. I said, that's correct. You don't have to go to church. And there's a few other things I wanted to say, but just wasn't the time to say that either. I ask you to consider this in your own church. In your own life, how actively involved are you in your local church? How important is your local church to you, to your family? How much of a priority do you make going to church, and not even just going to church, getting actively involved in your church? Is that important to you? Should it be important to you? So let me ask you this question. I'll look for some response on this. What does it mean to be actively involved in your church? Raise your hand. What do you think that means? What does it mean to be actively involved in my church? In your church, whatever church. Charlie? Showing up, just showing up, okay? What else? Okay. Okay. Availability to do whatever it is God might want you to do in your local church. Yep. Serving in any capacity. Yep. Well, any other thoughts? Being actively involved in your church. Yep. So praying, not necessarily the actual doing, but praying for the ministries of your church. Good. Good. Yeah, go to Ephesians. Oh, okay, go ahead, brother. Giving. Giving, not just time, but finances, time, energy, everything. Do you have something else? Showing attention to other members. Good. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Using your talent. Good. Let's hit some of these. Before we do, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read something here, and then we're going to pray. It burdens me that it seems in most Bible-believing churches, or maybe any church really, the women are more actively involved than men. Easily actively involved to get involved in. We have like Phoebe Ministry, which is a serving kind of a ministry, or a cleaning ministry, or a helping ministry, or any kind of this thing ministry. And who's eager to sign up and do all these? Oh, that is the women's thing. What kind of ministry do the men have in Acts chapter 6? What did they do? Does anybody know? Serving widows. The men. Who did they call to do that? Men. Men were called to do that. Actively involved in serving those Grecian widows. In leadership capacity in the New Testament, positions generally held by men or women? Men. Yeah. Yeah. Consider your church. Why are these things so? Why are women more ready? Do they have more time than we do? I look at my wife and I say, nope. Now I'm with three kids and work and all this stuff. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That would be emphasized there, the pastor, teachers, Pastor Mark, myself, Brother Josh, Brother Mike, and so forth. What are we here for? What is our responsibility? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. I know it doesn't say the men, but this is a men's conference, and the word saints has already been addressed as those who are born again, saved. Brother Mike touched on that. You're a saint. For what though? Perfecting of you, the maturing of you. You're here, hopefully, with a desire this weekend to learn God's word, which should compel you to grow and get actively involved in serving and ministering. I believe this is a local church setting, very specifically the book of Ephesians. Here, apostles, teachers, so forth, for a specific work, maturing. Why? What's the purpose of your maturing? It's right in the verse. What's it say? What's next? To do what? The work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. Whose responsibility is the work of the ministry at your local church? Who? Who? The body. Don't say your pastor. The body. The body. I try to say to the folks at our church, look, this is not my church. This is our church. But I'll be honest. Sometimes I feel like it's my church. Sometimes. Who's doing this? Who's doing this? Oh, wow, I'm doing that again. Oh, I'm doing this. I don't mind doing it. This is my life. But really? Biblically? Whose responsibility is it to do the work of the ministry? Look, if our churches are, if we look at this church over here and say, oh wow, they got that ministry and this thing and that thing and that thing. Man, oh, we don't have that. Don't blame it. Well, we don't have as many people as that. No, that might be the case, but generally not necessarily the case if we actually see who's actively involved. We have the same people as far as numbers that are actively involved. As men, we got to get actively involved. I exhort you to get actively involved. Take your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me ask you a question. So we have the work of the ministry that needs to be done. What is lacking in the ministry of your church? Whose responsibility is to take that up and run with that and work with that? It's yours, men. You need to be the leaders in your home, but also the leaders in your churches. And it's not all the responsibility of the pastor. He administrates, he oversees, and teaches, and prays. If our churches are going to be all that God, our local churches, I know we talk about the body of Christ, the university, and so forth, and yeah, I know they had smaller or house churches, and then they had some bigger meeting places, and we could talk about the definition of church, ecclesia, and what all that. Look, there are local assemblies throughout the New Testament. The local church. So we have a response. The pastor's responsibility is to teach you all, and even present these type of opportunities for more specific teaching. God, family, church. To help you be better equipped to serve. So what else is with this? Well, look. You have the pastors to help you there, but what about 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, verse 11? Verse 11 and 12. Back up to verse 9. You can go back further, but 9 is far enough. To another faith by the same Spirit, capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. We're not going to get into all these things. What are for today? What aren't for today? The whole point is the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, right? Verse 11, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. They all come the Spirit of God, dividing these spiritual gifts to every man severally as he will. If you're a child of God today, one of God's children, He's equipped you with something. He's given you spiritual gifts. Several spiritual gifts. Now here's the problem. Because you may, well you should admit it, because you just read it. It's right there. You have spiritual gifts. You may not know exactly what they are right yet. Now the question is, where am I supposed to use these spiritual gifts? There's the problem. Well, yeah, I use them at my job, and I use them at my home, and I use them in my community, and I take my family and would do this activity with them. I think the spiritual gifts, it tells us right in verse 12 where we're supposed to use these gifts. Verse 12, for as the body is one, whoa, we're talking about the body. I love the illustration of the body. It's perfect. It's perfect. The body is speaking about, is it speaking about your independent life at home and your work life and all this, or just speaking something much bigger? Much bigger. Speaking about the body, when you see God refer to the body in the New Testament, what is He referring to? Church. He's talking about church. He's the head and we are the what? The body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. He goes 1, 1, 1, 1. Look. When you were saved, God gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you and He equipped you and He to use them in your local church. I personally believe that God has put everybody into the church that you go to for a reason. He has you there for a reason. And if you would find out what that is and you would use your spiritual gifts there, that church would be vibrant and alive. And exciting, because everybody's doing their part. And everybody's important. You go on and read the rest, and it talks about the less comely parts, the more comely parts, and all that stuff. I was thinking about this just recently, relative to the illustration of the body. The body is a great, marvelous thing. The illustration of the body is a great, marvelous thing. When it comes to your physical body, you don't want anything to be independent. What I mean by that, if your foot decided it just wasn't going to work for you one morning, and it's just a normal morning, the alarm clock goes off, and you didn't know it, but your foot decided it doesn't feel like working, how would your first moments be when you get out of bed? Huh? You'd probably be on the floor. Right? You'd be fine. Oh, that's not working. And if it kept being that way, you would probably adjust and figure it out and you'd get yourself around. I was speaking to somebody recently who was telling me, maybe it was Henry, about the guy with no hands and no feet. But he hurt his knees playing basketball. Right? He's a professor at college, whatever. He learned to adapt. But he wasn't functioning as good as he could have. Right? But he was still doing good, but not 100%. Sadly, a lot of churches are operating that way. They're not operating 100%. They're doing the best they can because there are members that aren't working. But here's what's so sad about the members of the body that aren't participating in the work of the ministry. If you were to cut your hand off, okay, I don't recommend you try this, but if you were to cut your hand off, okay, and set it over there on the table, could the rest of your body function? I mean, proper stuff, so they stitch it all up. But could you function? Sure. Again, not as well. You try to hold a bow, you probably might not work as good. You know? Play some basketball, probably ping pong, whatever it might be. It won't work as good. Or you might figure it out and adjust. Okay, you can kind of make it. Let me ask you about your hand over there. How long is the hand going to make it? Not going to make it. Same with you. You detach yourself from the body. That hand still belongs to that body, no other body. It still belonged there, but it's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. It's not going to survive. There's no room for independency in the body of Christ. When you were saved, you were joined to the body of Christ. You were grafted into the vine. You were joined. We need to get ourselves actively involved in our church. I was going to break us up into groups and all that, but I'm not going to do that now. The church. How important is the local church? So the church provides a place for you to go to and be taught, right? The church ought to be a teaching institution. It teaches you. It also provides a place for you to fellowship, right? Hebrews chapter 10. Go over Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. So some things we've discussed so far up to this point is the work of the ministry, the responsibility of the work of the ministry is whose? The body. And here, what I want you to substitute a word. Instead of saying the body, it's a four-letter word. Mine. Can you say that? Practice that one. Mine. Say it again. Mine. All right, here we go. The responsibility of the work of the ministry is
mine.
Oh, that's much better. The body could be like, oh, that's me and them over there. No, mine. Mine. So then, God never, He never calls us to do something that He won't equip us to do it. So what does He do? What does He give to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Spiritual gifts. So we can't say, well, I don't have what I need to do that in the church, Pastor Kelly or Pastor Josh, Pastor Mark. I'll say, that's not true. God put you in the body. He's given you gifts. No more excuses. Too much distractions, as Brother Mark pointed out. Pastor Mark pointed out. Too many distractions, too many other things. So then, when we talk about TV being a distraction, computer being a distraction, do you know, family can be a distraction too. It can be an excuse, not getting actively involved in my church. Your work can get in the way and be a distraction from your family. Well, I gotta work. Sometimes work is an excuse to handle things with our wives. You know, things not going so good, so I'm just gonna spend an extra few more hours at work just because maybe I'll get home and she'll be tired, she'll be in bed and sleeping, and that might be good for today. That's not good ever. It's not good ever. That's sad when I hear things like that. Hebrews chapter 10. Hopefully you're there by now. Hebrews chapter 10. Often a passage used to say, you need to go to church. You need to go to church. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't be a sinner by not going to church. You know, you could be a sinner by going to church. Because you're just performing your duty. You're there. You look good. You got the smile. It comes back to your relationship with God and your relationship to your family, your relationship to your activity in the local church. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, I think is so important. So many just start at 25, not forsaking. But 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Some things should happen at your local church. So things, teaching, priority, the Word of God is a priority. Music's important, all that other stuff, but the teaching and preaching of the Word of God is interesting study. You should study the word church in the New Testament 79 times, you'll find it. Study the word church and study the surrounding passages revolving that and find out what should we do at church. You're not going to find a lot. Well, what about, you know, our hymns and our choruses and the offering and the handshake and the this and that and our this club and that club? No, you're not going to find any of that anywhere. Most of that, if not all that, is tradition. How you dress and how you know, I'd like to know who came up with the idea that, this is my own personal thing here, who came up with the idea that a suit and tie is the best? Who said that is the best? Suitmakers. Just an interesting thought. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wear that. I'm saying we should really think before we judge. Well, that music or that version or that activity or, whoa, we never done it that way before. I recommend you do a study on the church from the Bible yourself. Get a good concordance. You find a lot of what's going on in our local churches is tradition. The one thing that should happen, or two things that should happen in your church is the preaching of God's Word should be the priority, the emphasis. Then, providing opportunity for you to fellowship together. Notice what it says there in verse 24, Hebrews, provoking one another into love and good works. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then it goes on and says, and so much the what? More. Sadly, I was thinking about something Brother Keith was teaching just recently on giving and the concept of tithing. And, oh, that's not in the New Testament and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, you know, what I have found when it comes to the local church and financial giving and all that, it's like people want to find the debate so they can give as little as possible and have their conscience feel all right. That's what I have found, and those want to debate that. But I have found those that are the happiest, those that are experiencing God's blessing the most, and this that I've discovered the key to giving from their heart. And usually they give, I don't know what the offerings, I don't know who gives what. But if you talk to them, you'll find out that they give mighty generously, and God has taken care of them through it all. Why do I say all this? When I talk about that verse there in verse 25, and so much the more, our lives are busy. Whose life isn't busy? Let me ask you a question. Do you think their life was busy? In Hebrews, in 10, and in New Testament, Old Testament, you think their lives were busy? You think that your life is more difficult than they had it back then? Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Oh yeah, I'm studying through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We just don't know. My life is so crazy. They suffered persecution all the time, getting thrown in jail and so forth. We need to understand that the work of the ministry is done by us. You need to set the example as the men. The men need to get involved in serving in their local church, actively involved, setting the example to the younger men. Setting an example to their children, setting an example to their wives, leading our homes. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He chose for his house. He chose for, that's his whole household. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord. I like what in Joshua 1, he's being told, don't go to the left, don't go to the right, go straight ahead, right? Be strong, be very courageous. And he talks about the book of the law not departing out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou might observe to do according to all therein. Starts with your relationship with God. How is your relationship with God built? By studying the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Spending time in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. And they work in you. And then God will flow out of you. That relationship, your relationship to God, will affect everything else, will reflect your relationship to your family. Then after that, how goes the family, so goes the local church. We want solid families in our churches, because then you have a solid church. If you have solid families. Men need to lead their homes. Men need to lead their homes. Men need to make the relationship with God a priority, like other things might be. We need to understand the work of the ministry is ours. We need to understand that God has given us the gifts we need to do the work. So if we're not doing it, it's not our fault. I mean, if it's not, the work's not getting done, it is our fault. I think that's what I meant to say. Think about it in your churches. Ladies' Bible studies, ladies' ministries. Prevalent. More prevalent. Why is it so hard to get men together for Bible studies? Say, well, busy. We're busy. Again, your wives aren't busy? The ladies aren't busy? Here's a couple more things for you to consider. Fewer than 10% of U.S. churches are able to establish or maintain a vibrant men's ministry. This is sad. It's sad. It's sad. I would like you to consider your role in your local church. Your responsibility to the body of Christ, of provoking one another unto love and good. So, well, I don't do much at my church. You know, I do go and I go to church and that's all I really do. Well, that's too bad if that's all you really do, honestly. You do have a responsibility from Hebrews 10 is to provoke others unto love and good works. So here's something for you to consider. The why of go to church. Well, get beyond, because it says I shouldn't forsake the assemblies. No doubt it says not to forsake the assembly. And I personally believe that's a command of God. So if you forsake the assembly of ourselves together, you're sinning. But say, look, I'm going to church so I can actively be involved in other people's lives. I'm going to look for someone in my church. I want to encourage them today. It's my ministry, right? I'm going to take that upon myself and go to a church, and I'm going to look for somebody I can provoke unto love and good works. You do that? Consider that? Your whole aspect of church will change. I like to say this. It's not that I got to go to church. Got to go to church, kids! So if you say it like that, that's what they're going to hear too. I got to go to church like it's a burden. We got to go to church again! How about I get to go to church? How about I get to go? Kids, look, you did this all week long, and here comes Wednesday night or Thursday night. Kids, we get to go to church and fellowship with the brethren and hear God's word and encourage one another. It's kind of like the TV show or the favorite ball game or whatever. We get so excited, can't wait to watch that. But, oh, I gotta go to church. You know? I just think people get so excited about worldly activities that it's not necessarily wrong to get excited about your baseball team that might have played good this week or whatever it might be. But we don't get excited. Look, if the dads and the men aren't excited about what's happening at their church or what God's doing in the life of themselves or the church, kids aren't gonna either. I wonder why a large portion, I've been here now almost 12 years in New York at Faith Bible Church. And we have a Christian school, as you may know that. And we also have homeschoolers, and we have people who don't necessarily go to either of those. And I wonder why a large chunk of them, after they graduate, these teenagers fall off the cliff spiritually. Why? I can't get it. Well, they were taught. They have the Word of God. I say there's more to train a child in the way they should go, right? I think there's more to it than just, well, I gave them the Bible, put them in a Christian school, whatever it might be. Homeschool them, kept them away from the world. No, that's not just training. That's knowledge. I gave them knowledge, right? But as dads and men, husbands, whatever it might be, training involves interaction in their lives, help ministering with them, being with them, helping them, showing them. But I also believe it has to do, they want you and your church involvement. If you want your kids to be actively involved, loving the Lord and serving their local church when they come of age or whatever on their own, you better be doing it yourself. One of my greatest fears is that my children, when they come out of the house and they're graduating and all that, is they will not be actively involved in church anymore. By God's grace, I'm hoping and praying that they will be actively involved in their local church. But I've seen even pastors' kids not turn out that way. So pray for them that they would desire that. But look, If my attitude was, all right, kids, let's go. We've got to go to church, all right? But you know what? We're going to Grandma's after church. We're going to have dinner, and I'm going to enjoy the family. They're going to church just to get to church, go through church. We did our church, and now really, our grandma's. It's like the before thing. Gotta do. Tell you, men, how you see God in your life, or how you see God in relation to His church and His body is very important. Why do men not seem to get excited about going to church and being with other men? And even on Wednesday night, they said the midweek service is the least attended service. They say, you want to know the spiritual strength and maturity of a local church? Go to their midweek service. Go to their prayer meeting, if you will. Ours is on Sunday night, our prayer meeting. And you find it right there. I think that's quite interesting. Quite interesting. Talk about the man in his church. What time does this get done at? 3 minutes ago? All right, I'll wrap up right here. It's real simple. You need to decide if the things that we're saying to you today is true or not, biblical or not. Whose responsibility is the work of the ministry? Whose? Oh, good. You hear that, Pastor Mark and Pastor Josh? Okay. Forget it. Did God equip you with spiritual gifts to fulfill that responsibility? He did. It's not the responsibility of the ladies to do it all. It's our responsibility. So what are you waiting for? You have some things you might need to repent of? Some things are distracting you? Satan doesn't want you actively involved in your church. He wants to keep you busy about good things so you can feel happy about those things. But getting actively involved in your church. You're called to the work of the ministry of your church. You've been equipped. There's no excuse. Let's pray. Father, I do pray you might take these things that we've spoken today and use them to accomplish your work. We know that it's only by you and your grace that we can even desire to do your work. It's you that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So if we're not truly saved, if there's somebody that's not truly saved, they can't even do these things. Because you work in us. And Lord, if we are saved and we're not doing these things, then that relationship, there's something blocking it. I pray, Lord, you might help each of us to seriously take some time to consider our activity and our role and our responsibility in the work of the ministries of our local churches. Lord, I pray you might work there mightily, that our churches might thrive, that you would be glorified through the ministry of the local church. It would shine brightly to the community, especially as we're coming up to our summers with vacation Bible schools and other ministries and so forth. Pray, Lord, you use these men in a great, mighty way. Help us to yield ourselves to you, present ourselves a living sacrifice to you, dear God. Help us to choose to do that. We look forward to what you're going to do. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for desiring to use us in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.